We've been spending this month looking at the story of the prodigal son. And each week, we've looked at a different character. We looked at the younger son first, the one who went away, and then the older son, the one who stayed home. And last week, we talked about the father. But today, we take a step back from the story a little bit, and we look at the idea of home, this concept of what it means to be home. We've borrowed some from the famous painting by Rembrandt, The Return of the Prodigal Son, and from the author Henry Nouwen and his reflection on that picture and this Bible story. But today, again, we step back and we look at this idea of home. And I want you to hear this story once again. The story of two sons and their father and their home. We find them at the beginning of the story at home together as a family. And yet the younger son decides that he wants to leave. He wants to leave home behind, take his inheritance and go and do his own thing. And so he asks permission from his father to get that inheritance, and the father grants it to him, and he leaves. He goes away, and he spends all of his money. That's where the name prodigal comes from for this story, someone who spends or does something extravagantly and wastefully. And so he does, and he runs out of money after a while, and there's a famine, and he is hungry, and he hits rock bottom. All of his friends are gone, all of his possessions are gone, he's run out of money, and he's left eating with the pigs, no one to care for him. And he comes to his senses, and he says, "At least the servants in my father's house have it way better than I do right now. I'll go back home and see if my father will at least accept me as a servant in his house. Not as a son any longer, but as a servant." And so he begins to make his way home, and while he's still off in the distance, his father is looking out, and he sees him, and the father runs out to the younger son, and he welcomes him, he embraces him, and welcomes him back home. Puts a clean robe on him, puts a ring on his finger, and throws this great and lavish party for his son, who has gone away, but who's returned. As all the preparations are coming together for this party, as they are beginning to celebrate, the older son comes back from his work out in the fields, and he hears the commotion, and he wonders, what is going on? He asks some of the other people who are there, some of the servants, "Well, what's going on? Why is this party happening? What's all this commotion about?" And they tell him that your brother has returned home. But rather than rejoicing, rather than celebrating, he is angry and bitter and resentful, and he refuses to go into the party. That party doesn't feel like home to him. And so his father comes outside, meets him there in the middle of his anger, and talks with him, and says, "Son, this brother of yours, he's returned. We had lost him. He was dead to us, but now he's alive again, and we have to celebrate. We are made whole again as a family." And yet we're left wondering how the older brother responds. Does he go in and join the party? Or does he stay in his bitterness and resentment? And what does all this have to do with home? If you look up the word home in a dictionary, it will tell you that home is a place where you live. And certainly that's true, but I think all of us know that home is more than that. It's deeper than that. There's something that runs truer to the word home than just a house or a place where you live. Lots of quotes about home that are famous. Home is where the heart is one of those. And that rings true to us, right? Home is, yeah, we'll take it slower. There we go. Thanks. Home is where the heart is. But that there's something about love in our heart that helps us identify with home. All right, up next we have "There's No Place Like Home." We love that movie, right? The Wizard of Oz, and Dorothy has gone on this great journey to the land of Oz, but all she wants to do is get home, get back to that place where she belongs. Of course, she, you know, clicks her heels together and is able to return home. There's no place like home. There's something about belonging that has to do with home. All right, up next, home is where your Wi-Fi connects automatically. I like that one. That's a very modern 21st century one. But there is, you know, I mean, it's funny because it's true, but there is something a little deeper to it. Because it reminds us that home is somewhere that we've already been, right? Somewhere we belong. And it can be multiple places. My Wi-Fi connects here at the church automatically, at my house, at my parents' house, at various places. So home doesn't have to be defined as one particular place, but it's somewhere that is familiar to us, somewhere that we've been before. All right, up next is, a house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. That the places where we live, our home or apartment or house or whatever it might be, yes, it's built out of building materials, but that home is something deeper than that. It's more than bricks and mortar. It's a feeling. It's a belonging. All right, up next. And this is a quote. I can't read it from there, so I'll look on my cheat sheet. And it is from Maya Angelou. It says, "The ache for home lives in all of us. The safe place where we can go as we are and not be questioned." The ache for home lives in all of us. I think that is part of our universal human experience. We all have this longing to belong, to be where we are safe and secure, where we are accepted and loved. That gets at the meaning of home. And then I think we have one more. Home is not where you were born. Home is where all your attempts to escape cease. And that's from Naguib Mahfouz. Not so much where you're born, but the place where you are safe, where you no longer have to keep searching and striving and looking for something outside of yourself, but where you are home. Where you belong, where you can be who you are, where you're accepted and loved. That, I think, is what home looks like and what home means. And so if we look at this story of the prodigal son, the two sons and their father, each of the characters in the story is looking for home. The younger son leaves to try to find it, goes about kind of wild living, spending money, trying to find it in that kind of way, sowing his wild oats, and realizes that it's not in that searching and striving that he'll find home. And so he comes back. The older son stays at their house and tries to find home in following the rules, in doing his duty, in being the good son, doing what's expected of him. But he loses home even as he tries to find it in that place. And the father, I think, is also looking for home. He's looking for it in relationship with his sons. And he's desperately trying to grab it and to hold on to it, but it just slips through his fingers. Each of these three characters wants and longs for home, but they can't quite find it. They can't quite get there. At the end of the story, I think they get pretty close. When the younger son returns and the father is just overwhelmed with joy to see him, and the son realizes that he's accepted and loved just because he is his father's son. And they have this great celebration, this great party. And I so want the older brother to go in and join the party. I want him to experience that same life-giving joy that the father and the younger son experience. And so at least for today, I'm going to pretend that he does. That he goes into the party. And that he is excited to see his brother. And that he himself comes to his senses as well and realizes that all of his striving, all of his trying to follow the rules and be the good son, that's not what makes home. What makes home is being together and being loved and being accepted and being able to be who you are without any masks, without any pretense. Just being yourself and being loved and accepted for that. In my own life, I've experienced home in lots of different places and different people and situations. But the one that stands out the most to me is Aldersgate Camp. Many of you have heard me talk about Aldersgate before. It's United Methodist Church Camp up in Kentucky, where I grew up. And I would go there every summer from the time I was about 10 or 11 years old. I would go to church camp for at least 1 week every summer. And then when I was in college, I worked there for 5 summers on staff. I was a counselor and then was the head of the summer staff. And it's just a place that has a lot of meaning for me. But as you drive into the camp, you kind of go on these country roads and you're winding around, and eventually kind of the field opens up and you drive into camp. And there's a sign when you pull in. And it just says, "Welcome home." You can see in the background the actual sign for the camp with the name of it and the United Methodist Cross and Flame. But before you even get to that Aldersgate Camp sign, there is a sign just on the road that says, "Welcome home." And that sign has been up there, since before I started going, which would have been like 20 or 30 years ago. Yeah, 25 years ago. Imagine all the people who've come into that place and seen that sign. Now, for some of them, I'm sure that camp doesn't feel like home, but it always has for me. When I went as a preteen boy, who was just this awkward kid, I was too nerdy to fit in with the athletic crowd, and I liked sports too much to fit in with the nerdy crowd, and just didn't quite have a place. When I went to camp, I did. I was accepted and loved and encouraged. As I got older and kind of came into myself a little bit more, I was able to use the gifts and the abilities and the skills that I have at that camp to help others and to lead groups and to do all kinds of things. I made friendships in that place that last even to this day. Camp was home for me. A place where I was loved and accepted no matter what. If other people would make fun of me or not accept me or I felt alone, I could come to camp and I knew I wasn't alone. I knew I was loved. I knew there were people and that there was a God who cared for me. I think that's what home is like. One of the great gifts that camp gave to me is that I didn't have to put on any airs. I didn't have to pretend to be something that I'm not. I didn't have to wear any masks. I could just be myself. And if I was silly and goofy, that was okay. If I was nerdy, that was okay. If I was awkward and clumsy, that was okay. Whatever it was okay just to be me in that place. As a pastor, I've always tried to bring some of that into the churches that I've served. And I continue to try to do that here at Blakemore. Because I think it's in that sense of home that we find our true identity and that we can be made whole. You see, at camp, everyone was welcomed and accepted for who they are. And that's the kind of church that we strive to be. We value you just the way you are. At camp, we were encouraged to use whatever we had, whatever gifts or talents or skills that we had, whatever, however crazy they might be, to use those. And we try to do that here at church as well. Whether it's the beautiful music that the Murphy brothers are playing, or the art that Roseanne makes, or the kids just being crazy and having fun, whatever it might be, we use what we have to offer glory to God and to point others to God's love. But I think more than anything else, what I hope for in church is that we can set aside all those masks that we wear, that we can stop pretending that everything is okay when it's not. That we can stop trying to pretend like we have these perfect lives, but we can be honest and say that life is hard, but it's hard for each of us. And we are accepted and loved, and we are in this thing together. We have each other's backs. We can struggle, and we can support each other. I think that's what home really looks like, where we're loved, where we're accepted, where we're welcome, where we don't have to pretend, where we can just be ourselves. We can support each other and help one another. Henry Nouwen, who we've borrowed from in this sermon, leaves us with a quote that I think will be a good way to end. And he says this: true homecoming is choosing the way of Jesus, where we acknowledge the good and painful in our lives, and we ask for patience and courage to forgive all those who have wounded us on the journey. Their love was limited and conditional, but it set us in search of that unconditional, unlimited love. This way takes us on a path through the desert of suffering to our hidden wholeness and to our utter beauty in the eyes of the one we name God. All of us spend our lives looking for home, looking to be loved and accepted. Some of us are like that younger brother. We run off in wild directions and look for it there. Some of us stay and do our duty and are the good children. And others are like the father and look for it in relationship with others. But our true home is only found in God's loving embrace, because it is God who created us, God who made us, and God who knows us so intimately that our masks don't even work. And it is God who loves us despite all of those things, who accepts us and loves us for who we are. And so, friends, this day, if you are still looking for home, if you are still searching for a place to belong, know that home is right here waiting for you, that God's loving arms are wide open, ready to accept you and love you just the way you are. Amen.